Great. Welcome, everyone. I'm Stella Nye from the President's Advisory Committee on the Status of Women, and along with my colleagues, our chair, Cheryl Lloyd, and our leadership, Rosemary Changston and Catherine Montano, we're very pleased to be co-presenting this Using Social Media to Advance Your UC Career presentation with the UCOP Staff Assembly. Today we have one of UC's selected HR consultants, Right Management, here to present today. Right Management is a large talent and leadership consultant company, and I can tell you more about what they do, but I can tell you again, they're one of UC's selected HR vendors, and they work a lot on leadership development, and social media is one of the areas that they help people in terms of leadership training and career advancement. Today we have the Vice President from Right Management here, Carolyn Robertson, and she brought Karen Fay, Nina Ryback, and I believe Patrice Reed on the phone.
Sure.
So without any more delays, I'll hand it over to Right Management.
Great. Thank you so much, Phil. I appreciate it. And thank you so much for taking your lunch hour to spend some time with us to talk about social media. A couple things. One, set some ground rules. We'll definitely be asking for your input kind of throughout the hour. We want to save about 30 minutes for questions and give you a lot of opportunity to ask us questions throughout at the end. Okay. Let's talk about the purpose, process, and payoff. I always like to start this way, what you're going to do today, how you're going to cover it, and what you're going to get out of it today. We're going to talk about the big three in social media, which is Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Show of hands, anybody use any of those three? Oh, very good. Very good. So I think we've got a good group in the audience. We're going to talk about how social media has rapidly changed over the last 10 years. We're going to talk about networking and how to build your brand, and then also how to protect your brand online a little bit. We'll go into LinkedIn. We're actually going to dive into some of the applications and show you how to complete your profile, fun things about how to look at events, join groups, share common interests with people. Posting tweets on Twitter, and how to keep your network updated. There's tons and tons of additional programs out there right now that can help you keep your network updated. We're going to try to keep it as simple as possible today just for those top three, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So essentially, you are going to get an understanding of social media and how it can help you here at the UC. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know about you, but my house has been full of sports for the last probably 3 months. The World Cup was very exciting, and now the tour is on. And there's this whole concept in the tour. You know, there's only one person that ever wins the tour, but that person is always supported by a team of individuals behind him, and also a team of people who work on technology. The team is all linked through earpieces, they have heart rate monitors, they have people driving behind them in cars and in motorcycles. So what I want you to think about is this whole kind of concept of a bike wheel as we talk about social media, you being the kind of hub, and then the spoke is really your network. So without the hub and the spokes, the wheel doesn't work. So that's one concept that I want you to think about. There's kind of a fun thing you can do with social media. You can play that 6 degrees of separation game, and I have 1 degree of separation with Lance through my college roommate at UC Davis. She works at Bell Sports, and they do technology on bike helmets. And then the last little bit of trivia on this slide that's really fun is that this is not the Tour de France. It's actually the Tour de California, and this happened last year in 2009, and that bike was stolen out of the van. And what this is, I wanted to show you was how he retrieved that bike in 4 days. He used Twitter and sent a picture. QuickPic is an application that you can use to post pictures out to your network. And he sent this tweet out to 140,000 people in a second, and they retrieved the bike in 4 days. So the power of social media, this is a really good example. And this is exactly what he said, a pic of the stolen TT bike. There's only one like it in the world, therefore, hard to pawn off, reward being offered. So. All right, so let's talk about the history of social media.
Good afternoon. I'm Karen Fay, and I work with Cheryl and Nina and Patrice, who's on the phone. My focus within Right Management is working with people who have lost their jobs. And so they're obviously very serious about developing skills to help them find a new job, and that's our role, is to help them develop really effective skills. How many of you would say that you're using social media regularly, maybe even daily? Okay, good, good. There's a few. From the work that we do and from the training that we take part in, we've learned very clearly that social media is not a fad. It's not something that's just here for the first part of this millennium and is going to go back to, we're going to go back to using the telephone and sending note cards or whatever. It's here to stay, and it's actually what they call a global shift in the way that we communicate, in the way people communicate. And it has having a huge effect.
All right.
Social media and the use of it will, for all of us, become a lifetime practice. So it's probably a good idea to figure out what it is and how to make the best use of it. A couple of, just a few questions for the group. Show of hands. A January 2009 study said the fastest growing demographic on Facebook was the 18 to 35 40. True or false? True. Who says true? Oh, nobody. False? False. True. That is false. I almost said true.
The answer is false.
The answer is false. I was going to say true. That is false. It was the 35 to 54 year olds. It wasn't the kids. Number two, communication through email still exceeds that of social media sites such as Facebook and Twitter. So people are still sending more emails. True or false? True?
True.
True?
No.
False? It is false. Yes. In February of 2009, social network communications exceeded that of email. So it's been over a year that people were using things such as Twitter and Facebook. Carolyn told me last week, she said, I don't email my friends. I put it on Facebook. Amazing. And here's the thing that's really relevant, again, for the people that I work with. 50% of companies use LinkedIn as their primary source of finding new talent. True or false? True?
True.
True? False? No. Anybody say false?
False.
You're all reluctant today. The answer, again, is false. The real number is 80%. I don't want to say that again. 80% of hiring companies are using LinkedIn as their primary source for finding new talent.
Does that include public and private?
Yeah. That's not new to you.
Probably not. Probably not, yeah. But they're learning. It's growing. That number is not going to recede. It's going to get larger. I saw a study 6 months ago, maybe, that Monster's business was down 35%. There are a couple of factors in play there, but LinkedIn was one of them. They were really hurting them. And as you'll see from this slide, of course, how many of you Google? Use Google. Yeah, everybody. It's a verb. Just
yeah.
Google it. That started 12 years ago, if you can imagine. iTunes, Wikipedia, this is all part of the Internet. When we get into, again, the first part of the millennium, that's when we get into what is called web, you know, or social media. That's where you see Skype. I use Skype regularly. A number of our candidates are interviewing with companies over Skype because companies, especially in these last couple of years, can't afford to be flying people around. So they're using Skype to interview. Kind of a fun little factum is the day after the new iPhone came out, the iPhone version 4, someone had already conducted an interview over the phone with the iPhone within 24 hours of its release. YouTube, I love YouTube as well. And then, of course, Twitter came around in 2006, and Yammer, which is an internal documentation website, 2008.
It's an enterprise-wide Twitter, essentially.
So it would be within an
inside a company.
Inside a company, inside an organization.
So, for instance, like Twitter is
sort of public domain, if you will, whereas Yammer just belongs to one company.
So it's like the intranet. Intranet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Next. It's all about networking. And as I mentioned a little while ago, the people I work with, my clients, if you will, are people who are looking for work. They are unemployed. And so we talk about networking, and we facilitate networking. We train around networking on an ongoing basis. Networking is king. But even if you're not looking for a new position, networking is still royalty. And you want to take part in it. You want to be in the movement. Networking is about sharing information for mutual benefit, exploring common interests, and connecting with people that you know. And certainly, social media makes that extremely much easier. In other words, another way to look at it is virtual collaboration. And, of course, in these times, economic times, but really way before this, collaboration is how work is getting accomplished the most efficiently. I actually took part in a nonprofit conference last week over just around the corner through Opportunity Knox. And one of the speakers, whose name unfortunately I have forgotten, was talking about the future of nonprofits, the trending, and he said collaboration is going to be extremely much more important. Nonprofits, of course, are extremely challenged for funding and have been as hard hit as any other organization. So the virtual part of it is the beauty of social media. Next. Okay. And at the risk of dehumanizing or appearing as if this is dehumanizing people, we do have things to offer. And in the new paradigm in the world of work, in fact, this is not really new anymore, it's really vital for individuals to take charge of their careers. You cannot expect that your employer is going to set up a development plan for you, come and seek you out and bring you in and say, we want you to take these classes, we want you to attend this conference, et cetera. It's important for you to be in the driver's seat for that. And to figure out what direction your career is going in, and then make sure that people know about it. And that, again, is the beauty of social media. As it says, forget the ladder, it's a ramp. You need to position yourself. What are your unique selling points, and making sure that you do, in fact, market yourself. And I like that you are your own 24/7 billboard, and certainly the internet is a 24/7 vehicle.
I mean, I think one point that I'd like to make here is the thing that I love about social media is it gives you different avenues to touch different groups of people in your life. Like LinkedIn allows you professionally to reach out to people and share information about similar topics. Whereas with Facebook, there may be, for instance, like I used Facebook the other day to find out that the top 10 baby gifts at a baby shower, because I'm linked to a lot of moms. So, and then Twitter allows you to reach out to people that that you don't know that you have similar and common interests in. So you can really build this brand for yourself online and be able to share and gather information. So there's so much information out there, and I think that is really what this is about. They all have different sort of privacy controls, if you will, and it's just kind of knowing where your comfort level lies and sort of what information you want to get your hands on.
The comfort level is a really important point.
Yeah, definitely.
So how does the social media help? It helps you to become, of course, very effective in producing the desired results that you want and to do it really efficiently. You are able to be transparent in what your goals are, your unique selling points that I referred to a moment ago. And you have that global reach. So your four walls of your office, they don't exist, and neither does your cubicle. You are able to reach out virtually to anyone in the world, and it's fun. That's a really integral part of collaborating with people, meeting people, working with individuals. It can be a lot of fun, and the virtual part of it can increase that tremendously because of the people that you're able to connect with and learn from. As Carolyn mentioned just a moment ago, LinkedIn is seen as the professional site to be when you are involved in the social media. Facebook and Twitter, Carolyn's going to speak about a little bit more, and I think, show of hands, how many people have a Facebook page? Good number. All right. How many of you have a LinkedIn profile? Okay. Similar. LinkedIn, pardon?
So we have Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, Twitter. All right.
Fewer hands.
How many are on Twitter, using Twitter? I'll raise my hand too. Good. Good. Okay. LinkedIn, as we noticed, is about 7 years old now. They were founded in 2002, but they really launched, or three, and then they launched in 2004. They refer to themselves as social networking, but the social part refers to the science of sociology, and it was originally founded and started based on the theory of 6 degrees of separation. But LinkedIn will tell you right now that they believe that the degrees of separation are either 3 or 4, or no longer 6, because of the internet and the ability to reach out and connect with people so easily. It's highly used by job seekers and recruiters, also HR groups, but it's also very highly used by, and growing pretty rapidly, by people doing business development because they're trying to connect and learn more about the people that they're targeting. And it is an extremely efficient way to market yourself. That's the bottom line. LinkedIn is part of your perceived brand. You want to be where your audience is and to make sure that you have created a consistent value statement through LinkedIn and the other sources. When we get into, is this the time to go to the website? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is.
We could
do it now.
Yeah.
And I'm paying particular attention to the clock because we're going to be talking until about 1 and take questions after that. I will tell you that that with LinkedIn, we actually spend several hours in training with our candidates around using this and capitalizing on this resource. So we're not going to make, and we don't promise them that they're going to be power users. So today is, for those of you who haven't started using it, this is an introduction. This is actually my website. This is the home page where I have messages. And as Carolyn pointed out just before we got started today, I actually did a webinar around LinkedIn on Friday, and I opened it up and I went, oh, it's different.
They change, just like Facebook, they change the interface all the time.
They update every Thursday evening. Yeah. We need to put updates in.
Which is great because they're always adding functionality and
when you're trying to teach it.
And different ways to access the website. So it just means you need to go on and be comfortable sort of cruising around and trying to figure it out. So they're always trying to make it more user-friendly.
They are enhancing it. I have to say it's new and it's different, and in most cases, it is an improvement. And this is my profile. I am 100% complete. You cannot be 100% complete on LinkedIn without your photograph. So I buckled down and found something that worked. Thank you. It wasn't easy. Right under here, and I'm going to go in and work on this. So this is my brand, if you will. I have my job title there. People who are looking for work can put in something that identifies themselves in terms of the functions that they're seeking and perhaps the industry that they're trying to find, too. So that can be an effective way because of branding yourself and making sure that you're consistent. Because whenever someone searches your name, and LinkedIn profile is probably one of the things that's going to come up first on a Google search. They work hard in keeping in touch with Google. That title is going to come with it. So that branding, that way of identifying yourself will always come up with it. Let me go back up. What I really want you to see is under More right here, because we're going to be touching on this all so quickly, they have a learning center. And their learning center is really nice. They have webinars that they conduct every week. They're about an hour long, hour and a half maybe. That they're live webinars. You can log in, and they're free. Take those. But they also have many, many training or things that you can download from the site. Just look at this left-hand column and all the different things.
And you don't have to have a LinkedIn current account to be able to access this information.
That's true.
It's just learn.linkedin.com. So if you're interested in learning more about it before getting a login and actually registering, you absolutely can do that too.
Right.
And all the links and things like that are on the second to last slide in the deck. So it's really easy to access.
And they do a very nice job of it. So I encourage our candidates to do that too, just because we have to cover so much material and do it so quickly. Another thing about LinkedIn I think is very important, I always suggest that you go in and work on your profile and try to get it to a certain degree of completeness before you start reaching out to collaborate with people or to connect. Well, you want to grow your network, but before you start promoting yourself too heavily, you want to make sure that this is in good shape. I actually know of two of our candidates in San Francisco who lost out on opportunities, and they know this because of the feedback that they got from a recruiter and from HR, two separate individuals, two different companies who were being considered for a position. They looked at their LinkedIn profile. Each of them had a profile. They each had one connection and virtually no information. So they were eliminated from consideration because it didn't look as if they were using this to its full advantage and probably not too up to date on their social media.
Excuse me, can you say they had one connection?
Okay.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I have 244 connections. That means that in my first level network, there are 244 people that I know and can reach out to through LinkedIn. I have access to their email information. I can reach out to them at any time very easily.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
What's interesting about that, and thank you again, I'll go back up here and I'm going to look at contacts, my connections. Let me look at network statistics. This is the thing I always think is fun. I have, well, it says here, 243. Maybe I got defriended. I don't know. 2 degrees away from me, literally, I can reach out to over 67,000 people. So those, the second degree connections are my first degree connections. Okay. And I can reach out to them through my first level contacts. And it almost always works. I've done it fairly frequently. You do need to do it very professionally, but it works easily. Yes.
So you don't connect with your second degree connection, you do it through your first degree to that person.
Yes. Yes.
So and what do you mean by that? I mean, like, if you're looking for particular information, do you send out a notice to your connection, say, could everyone send a message out to you?
I probably wouldn't do that, but if I had targeted, and again, most of my focus is for people who are looking for new work. If I knew of a position and perhaps had applied for a position at Cisco, I could look at my connections and I might see that I don't have a first-level contact at Cisco currently, but I probably have several second-degree contacts. So I would pick one of my first-degree contacts and say, I need to talk to Joe at Cisco that you are connected to. Will you please forward my email to him? I'll show you how to do that. It's actually quite slick.
Yeah. Well, the technology is sophisticated enough. So let's say if you are searching for someone, let's say at Cisco or let's say at UCSF, for instance, it'll show you how many degrees of separation you are away from them. It'll say like 3 or 4, and then it allows you inside the program to forward through your connections. So your primary connection or your first level connection will get this essentially an email from you saying, I'm trying to get a hold of this person that's 4 degrees away from me. Would you be willing to pass along this email? And this is the information. So the technology is, I mean, very sophisticated in how it works, but it allows you to see how many degrees you are away from someone, and then it also kind of prompts you inside the program to send them an email, and it allows, like, let's say, Karen to forward on my email to one other person or two other people. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
No.
Okay.
I'll show you. Yeah.
And so how do you know then who's at Cisco?
I'll show you that, too.
Good.
Okay, yeah. But before I leave this screen, I do want to point out that I have 67,000 people who are 2 degrees away, 4.8 million that are 3 degrees away, and theoretically can reach out to. You'd think I could do whatever I wanted, just 5 million people. But the other thing that I think is always so much fun, since July 9th, look at this line right here, since July 9th, which was Friday, 29,267 people have joined my network. And that's just 3 degrees away.
Okay.
All right. So let's, since we're interested in adding connections or connecting with people, let me do a search. And I always tell the candidates, do an advanced search. Just go right to advanced. And that will take you over here. You could use keywords if there was some topic. If you were interested in geology or something like that, you could put something like that in. Or you could look for someone by name. And I'm just going to put, I'm going to put Carolyn Robertson in.
That's me. Everybody in the room.
And we're actually not first degree connections. And I could put anywhere, and I'm going to leave it at anywhere. But if you, with a name like Carolyn Robertson, you probably want to make it somewhere close by. Because there's a lot of you.
There are a lot of me.
True. So you can do that search. You could also put a title in, or I could put a company name in, which is a lot, what a lot of our candidates would do. And there's Carolyn. She is a second degree connection from me. So if I click on her name, and it, obviously she's sitting next to me, but through LinkedIn, I can't reach out to her directly unless I want to send an email. That's a whole other thing. But I can see that, okay, I am connected to Carolyn right here, and I'm connected through about 25 people. So I, what I could do is I could pick Sean and say, Sean, here goes. Oh, wait a minute. I need to go back. I want to add Carolyn to my network, or I want to reach out to her. And I could send it like this. I could say that you, we're colleagues, choose a company, and you, when it says choose a company, it will only show me anything that I have entered on my profile. So if I have a position from 30 years ago, but I don't want to put it on my profile, it won't show up here that I used to work there. It has to be. So I could add this and send the invitation. I can also send a message and put this news article for you, something like that, and then carefully craft this and send it.
I have a question about when people are inviting you to be a connection on LinkedIn. I get lots of messages from people I'm not sure I want to connect with. And I'd like you to talk about who is advisable not to connect with early. You know, if you know what your experience is with that category.
What I can tell you from working with LinkedIn is that they are very clear, they're very consistent in saying that you should only link to people that you know and trust. So if it's someone that you are not, that you don't really know, that weakens your network, in effect. Some recruiters have said that really the strongest part of your LinkedIn network is are the second degree, the people who are 2 degrees away, because it's so easy to reach out to them, and of course there's so many of them. But they strongly advise that you only connect with people that you know and trust, because you'd have to manage requests from them. So if it's someone that, you know your situation, but if it's
well,
someone
I,
that
I have lots of people that I've worked with, and I don't really know them very well, you know, and so it's like, oh, well, we work at the same place, and so I want to be a connection. And I've had that on Facebook, and I've also had it, you know,
on LinkedIn.
And
it really
if, it, if it's people I don't really know very well, I've tended to ignore those invitations.
And that would be my advice, is to ignore them. Don't say, I don't know this person. unless they're just a real serial stalker. Because if someone gets five of those, I don't know these people, then their LinkedIn account could be closed.
Yeah. So you always want to hit archive, something like that.
Yeah, or archive it, something like that. Yeah. You can accept, you can ignore, or you can say, I don't know this person. And I think they've changed. Well, and I don't. Last time I looked, I didn't see archive. I saw ignore, so I don't know.
That is fine.
Or you could do nothing. You could do nothing.
You're going to keep getting emails about that person if you do nothing.
No, you really don't. No, you don't. Because there's some that I've ignored as well. And a lot just depends on your comfort level, frankly.
I mean, I would say be as protective of your network as you want to be, because if you do accept those people, then they have second-degree connections to everyone in your network. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know them, or, if, let's say, someone in your second-degree network called you and said, you know, what do you know about this person? Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's a real professional reference, you want to, I think, be considerate about that. And we had a recruiters panel, I think, about 2 weeks ago, and the recruiter said, you know, it's an okay thing to say, you know, I'm very protective of my network, and at this point, I'm only accepting people that I really, really know well, and I think that's an acceptable line.
Mm-hmm. And there were trainers at LinkedIn, again, who were doing the session I was in, and he said that that's what he does, is that he will send a message saying, you know, I am protecting my network and only accepting people that I know very well, but thank you for the invitation. So if you're comfortable with that, you can do that. Or you can, like you said, you can just ignore them.
Actually, I throw them all on a work search form. I guess the day when I get laid off.
And then they may not, you know, they do expire, I believe, after a treatment. You can only have so many outstanding.
Oh, that's right. We do.
Yeah.
60 or 90 days.
Yeah. So anyway, you could also go back in here if you're trying to find people within a certain discipline. You can go in and use the keyword searches. You can look by companies. And this is, let's say I used...
I'm listening, yes, to a seminar.
Oh, I thought it was...
No, it's an 866 number. I'm not being charged.
Okay. I'm putting Cisco in here to do a search.
To mute them.
Thank you.
The conference has been muted.
Oh, thank you.
Does that mean they can't hear us now?
No,
they can't. We can't hear us. They talk.
Oh, okay.
That
means they can't ask a question. You have to unmute to ask a question.
That might be okay.
Well, how do you unmute?
1-1.
Thank you very much. We'll unmute.
That's good.
Tough hour.
So if you're, again, if you're trying to find someone at a certain company you're trying to network in, I could put this in, just plain Cisco. But I probably want to look somewhere in or near, and that's the zip code for San Ramon, which is where I am based. And I'll do that. And I have 31,000 people in my results that I am at some degree linked in. They're sorting by relevance. But I could have it sort by relationship, too, which will probably be the same thing.
But if you wanted somebody in IT and Cisco, you could put keywords in.
Exactly. And that's a really good factor.
What does that mean, relationship?
Degree that you're connected to. Okay. Also take note of this left-hand column, because, see, there's still 31,000 people, a lot of folks to look through. So I could look through... maybe just first and second degree connections, narrow it down that way. I could also see who, here's IT right here, information technology and services. That's the industry. So you can narrow it down on that. And now I'm down to 118, which probably makes a lot more sense for me to look through. So that's just a little bit about the functionality of it. I want to go back to... my profile. What is that?
I think you clicked on the link.
I did not mean to do that. Okay. They're making money that way. I also want to point out that this is one way to keep my network updated. I entered this, but I'm speaking about LinkedIn and social media at University of California. Actually, Office of the President, I didn't put that in. However, after I put that in, a couple of people said, I want to come and hear you too. And I said, no, you can't. Some of my network. But that's a great way to, again, you know, let people know what you're up to. And the way that I have my LinkedIn set up, when I make changes to those updates, everyone in my first level network will get an email summary. You know, not just me, about other things, but they'll say, Karen Say is speaking.
The other thing that's kind of interesting, you can see about, I don't know, 50, 60% of the way down, there's an area for a Twitter account. And so LinkedIn and Twitter have this really neat functionality, so you can post on Twitter and update your status on Twitter and also on LinkedIn and vice versa, and you can also do one or the other. So it's, when we talk about keeping your network updated, let's say it's a press release about something you're very interested in, but you want to share it with your Twitter network and also your LinkedIn network, they make it really easy and able for you to do that.
So it's two birds with one stone.
So, yeah. Well, because, I mean, I remember when I first started getting into social media, it was a little bit overwhelming. It's like, oh, Twitter, Facebook, now I have to run a 3, 4, 5 applications, you know, because then there's Ning and Mashable and all these other ones that are out there, right? And those kinds, there are other programs that even are make it streamline it and make it even better, but this ability to share a lot of information with a lot of people in a very, very short period of time is great. So just keep that in mind. There are ways to streamline your activities so you don't have to do it multiple times.
And to track yourself. Specialties, very important to put this kind of information in. This is where actually a lot of recruiters look. This is where keywords are found. Again, for people who are looking for new talent, but if you just want to make sure that you're keeping your network up to date, this is where you would put your skill sets and your special interests. Applications.
Does it prompt you to do that in bullet points?
It does not. In fact, you can't do that in LinkedIn. I created it in a Word document and copied and pasted in here.
It's very punchy.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Add applications. There's all kinds of different applications that are pretty fun. One of, and again, to help.
Not to overwhelm everyone in the room. Thanks, Karen.
We all kind of got
that. Here we go. Oh, geez.
However, if you wanted people to be able to see some kind of work that you've done, perhaps a presentation that you've done, you could put it in box.net. There is a way to add documents in there. You can link to a blog, or perhaps that you've created on WordPress. If you want to let people know what you're reading, if it's around your occupation, your career pursuits, very appropriate to do that. And you can find events, and you can even post events on here in this events application.
Was that part of LinkedIn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, LinkedIn's made a lot of changes to try to make their website really sticky to get you to stay there as long as possible. And so, like, Box.net is really, I think, a fun feature. So Right Management, we're owned by Manpower, and so they release a lot of trend data about employment trends and things like that. So I use Box.net to upload files, and then what you can do is not only upload that file, and then your whole network gets an announcement saying, Carolyn Robertson has uploaded this file about the world of work trends. You can also attach that article in an email out to your network, too. So, I mean, there's different ways to share the information with your network. There's another one that's really, I think, is kind of fun. Buzz is a really fun one. So if there are organizations that you might be interested in, essentially what it does is it pulls the feed from Twitter into LinkedIn. So, for instance, if you, like, there are a couple companies I follow, like Zynga. They do... I don't know if anyone in here plays video games, but they create Farmville and Mafia Wars. They're all these video games that are accessed through Facebook. So that's a company that I follow on my LinkedIn page. So I get updates, organizational updates, very, very quick and very timely through LinkedIn by following them. So if you had, I don't know, groups or departments internally that wanted to do announcements, you could follow that department and get updates real quickly that way versus having to send an email to everyone. So.
I've noticed with Twitter, there's sort of an aggressiveness with tweeters about, you know,
a variety.
And in order to get into the tweet stream, you sort of, I have found, need to be really aggressive, but also really know where you're going, like pick a goal
person be the person that's only the IT person, or I always write about cupcakes, or whatever your niche is. What kind of, like, how much is enough, and what's too much with the communication within your group, you know? Is there etiquette? Is there a book on etiquette?
That's a good, I mean, that's a really, I mean, to me, it's always whatever feels comfortable to you in terms of your use of the technology. But I mean,
there are websites, and you referred to them a little while ago, Carolyn. That help you to organize your tweets.
Oh,
Carolyn
Hootsuite.
Or Patrice, yeah, Hootsuite.
There's another program called Hootsuite, H-O-O-T, that allows you to
Patrice can't talk.
Organize. That's true. It allows you to organize your tweets. Like, for instance, you can set your tweets 4 or 5 months out and schedule your tweets, which is an interesting one. And so, like, if you have a lot of press releases or things to share, or you're starting to build a brand with a group of followers and you want to try to increase your network, that's one way you can do it. But I do kind of agree with you. There are sometimes people that are very overusers.
Well, you know, when I enter the room, it just seems like there's a pack of people that totally know what they're doing, and they have every book that you ever could want on a subject, and they have all this stuff filled out, let's say. And then you're slowly chugging in there, and you're trying to ramp up and get your connections and fill all this stuff out. But, you know, are you going to be spamming, essentially, your network as you ramp up and start uploading in the beginning, or is that part of the normal culture of this environment?
I think you're very perceptive. I do think that there are people who, I don't want to say overuse, but who are more into it, I guess, and find a comfort level. And I know that many, many times I hear from candidates so often, I don't want to reach out to someone, and I'm talking about LinkedIn mostly. I don't want to reach out to these people. I haven't talked to them in 10 years. They're going to know I'm looking for a job and that I'm just trying to use them. And I said, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It is. Maybe they will realize that. But after all, you do need their help. Invariably, without exception, they will come back and say, you were right, which are my favorite words. You were right. They were just wonderful. They were so excited to hear from me, which, of course, is a tremendous boost. So, do it.
I mean, that's what it's there for, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay.
To me, though, that you can get sucked into this and literally spend 24/7 together your profile, reading things that other people posted, and I...
You do need a certain discipline around it. You're absolutely right. You do need a certain discipline around it. I encourage you have to be up to date, too. You need to make sure that your profile, and that probably is where a lot of the time goes initially, is creating that profile. You don't need to redo it completely. You do need to keep it up to date, but you don't need to redo it all the time. And then establish a certain amount of time that you're going to spend looking at things and working at it. Mm-hmm. I believe Hootsuite, there's another application or site that actually will organize your tweets, or you will put them into categories, so then they'll kind of save them for when you're ready to look at them. I think I've heard of that.
Hootsuite does that as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is my art stuff and
yeah.
my business stuff.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
And there's a function in Twitter that allows you to create lists now. So, for instance, if there were a group of companies that you wanted to follow, like all in history or something, you can create a list, and so every time you can go back to that list, and that's all you'll see. It sort of filters your view, if you will.
Okay. There's some other things I want to show you, and then Carolyn, we'll leave you a couple minutes to talk
that's
about.
That's okay. We're good.
Yeah, okay. Groups, very important. This is a relatively new functionality within LinkedIn, well, maybe a year or so. I don't remember. But anyway, this is where you can go, and I'm sorry UCLA comes up right away.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's
you're equal on that. All right, good. But if you'll notice that whenever you go to this group, the White House comes up, and then UCLA. I'm sure they pay for that. Okay. But you can go up here, and you can search through the groups, to find, and there are, I don't even know how many there are now, tens of thousands. Let's say that your main interest is human resources. So you can put that terminology in there. And there are 1,800, over 1,800 different groups that you could conceivably belong to. Some groups will require that you have certain qualifications. For instance, there are university alumni groups, and, of course, you need to be an alumni in order to join those. So that you, when you join, there is some vetting process that goes on before they accept you into the group. But once you're in the group, what is so charming about it is that you have open access to everyone else within that group. You can actually post jobs within a group free of charge. They will stay there for 2 weeks, not for very long, but it doesn't cost a thing, and anybody in the group can see it. It's the kind of thing that actually recruiters look at when they look at your profile. They like to see what groups you belong to see if you if it's consistent with what they see, what they have learned about you. The other great thing about the groups is that it's a great place to be learning about things that are going on. Members of the groups, and I get updates on a regular basis from the ones that I belong to, will post certain events that are going on or conferences that they know about or topics for discussion. It's tremendous.
There
a
University of California group?
There might be, yeah.
There's a lot of education discussion.
Yeah.
Are there more than one prior in?
That's the only one that I'm a member of.
The HRC
is full of, that's longer than I get. Mm-hmm. From people trying to sell their consulting services.
You know, I really don't see much of what I would call spam on the groups that I belong to. They are usually talking about events or things that are relevant to that group and a really good source of information. We have 654 University of California groups. So there ought to be one.
Either in Chico. It probably joined the words California University.
That's true. All right, so that's groups. I'm going back to the profile, and as part of a complete profile, you will want to get recommendations. This is where I think it's a really good idea to get it all filled out before you request recommendations. In order to get a recommendation from someone, they need to be a first-level contact, and, of course, they need to be on LinkedIn in order for them to recommend you. It's completely acceptable to go out and ask for a recommendation. You can say, here's get recommended right there. I could pick anybody from my group, from my network, and say, would you please write me a recommendation? And I always tell candidates, tell them what to say. Mm-hmm. People actually enjoy it and really like it if you give them something, either suggestions or plain just write it out for them, and they'll go, great, and copy and paste it. And then it comes back to you to be approved before it actually appears here. And you can hide them if you want to.
Just having been asked to do this for people, this is the one aspect I'm really uncomfortable with because I don't know who's going to see my recommendation.
Then. It depends on what their settings are, and I would just assume that everyone is going to see it.
So this is where I refused requests because I want to write a recommendation to the person, on the other end. And this, I think, among other things, it's a liability issue to have something globally posted that's a recommendation where you may or may not be providing information in detail that you know. Because I have people I recommend where I say they work for me in this job title these days, period, which should say everything to the person who receives it. And then there's other people I recommend where they're going to get, you know, 2 pages of detail and glorious adjectives. So I don't, you know, this is where I have a big problem with how it gets set up because you don't know who the recipient is.
It's gonna, you just assume it's you assume it's everyone. It's visible to the world.
Right.
You should assume.
So then you would assume that whatever's on there, the blend is possible. Virtually non-specific because you can't tell a lot of details in the situation like that. On the other hand, as someone who was involved in a job search for 5 years, it would have been great if I didn't have to ask
every time.
I mean, because it gets to be kind of embarrassing to do that, and I'm also annoying to them. So there are some good sides to it, having the recommendation letter already.
Actually, it's not a letter. It's typically a paragraph, maybe two. They don't want them to be very long because, frankly, people don't read that much. But there are a couple of
yeah, no, not
really
well.
We've all got highlighters in our back pocket.
But the recommendations are actually pretty important, and we encourage our candidates to get them. I know that there are some that there. I've read articles about legal departments in certain organizations who have warned HR,
yeah.
Be careful about what you put in the recommendation. If it doesn't jive with what's in the personnel records, it could lead to a legal situation. So there is that aspect. On the other part, really, the best recommendations are specific. They do say, you know, Karen did a fabulous job when we were opening this career center. She was the one who got everything done, and we were able to open ahead of time, da 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 da. That can really make a difference to people. Anyway.
The most important thing of the recommendation might be your job title, because, you know, when a writer publishes a book, it's a blur. You know, you put on the back the people that recommended it, it doesn't matter what they say. And we all look at that. What you're looking at is who recommended it.
Who wrote that? Yeah. What's interesting about recommendations is that they're not searchable. So when someone does a Google search around you or using keywords, the recommendations are not included. They won't come up. But I know from talking with recruiters that they will read the recommendations just to get a more complete picture of who you are.
Yes.
So here's another etiquette question. Say you were hiring someone. You're in the hiring role, and you get access to the person's LinkedIn page, and you see some recommendations, and there's a paragraph from someone, and you think, well, I'd like to hear more about this. What's the etiquette of contacting that person saying, X is applying for a job in my organization, especially if the person doesn't
mm-hmm.
work with them, that's pretty obvious.
And they're not on their list of resources. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the etiquette
references.
Of saying, I read that you recommended this person. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the things that are related to the job.
I will tell you what happens. It does happen.
Yeah.
So that they are, and usually, of course, they have to be on LinkedIn or they aren't able to write the recommendation, so they will reach out through LinkedIn to that individual. Recruiters do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are recommendations a nice way to balance a protected network? Let's say you have 25 instead of 234 people in your network, but you have these recommendations built in for recruiters. Do they look at a racial balance to go, okay, well, she has a small network, but here's what people are saying?
It would offset it somewhat. But I still think that really to get the full benefit of LinkedIn, you do need to get that first level contact list to up around 100 people. And it's not hard.
They have it quick. And okay,
yeah.
Everyone in my network knows that they're going to get a request for a recommendation around December timeframe. So it's just something I do just annually to try to keep it fresh and keep those recommendations fresh, because LinkedIn allows you to show or not show the recommendations. And so it's important, like Karen was saying, is always keep your page fresh. And so you want to, you know, remove some of them, maybe the older ones, just kind of keep it top of mind and always try to get some new feedback about the work that you've been doing.
You're also saying suggesting keep a balance of the quality of your network. Right? One
of the
first.
You want to have people in your first level network that you do know and hopefully have worked with, maybe not necessarily, but you do trust them.
Right. Just 100.
Because they are going to see who people in your, they're going to see the other people in your network.
I mean, that's just interesting to me. You know, on Facebook, I do not have hundreds of friends on Facebook because, you know, I always joke that I stopped accepting applications a while ago. You know, and I'll add people here and there, but, you know, I want this to be quality. I don't need to have 500 people that are connected to me that I don't really know.
And it's interesting, on LinkedIn you will see, sometimes you'll look up certain people, and always recruiters, of course, they'll be able to see the number of your first level contacts, and they only go to 500. So it'll say 500 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who have thousands of first level contacts. And LinkedIn actually kind of frowns on that, because they say, well, what kind of quality is that network really? And because you probably don't know about all those thousands of people that well.
Should we ask Patrice and see what she wants to chime in on this?
Sure.
1-1, is that what you said?
I was going to go on to Twitter pretty quick.
Oh, we can do that.
Patrice? Yeah, I mean, I guess I should get back. knowing, like they're saying, knowing.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Patrice, are you there? Anyone on the phone?
I have a follow-up question related to my
experience.
Sure. Are you familiar with any buzz around emerging social networking sites focus on professional development? I think I recall a couple of months ago reading something briefly in my family's kind of something called work school or something like that. Promise to be more confidential, founded by the former founder of Calibra.
Heard of Work Score.
Okay.
Well, but I have read something recently that Simply Hired, I think was joining with Facebook, or Facebook was developing a more professional look in order to be competitive probably with LinkedIn, so that if you are looking for a new position, you could search your friends and find people where they worked.
Yeah.
The LinkedIn is so efficient, though. I don't know why you need Facebook unless you didn't have a LinkedIn presence.
Well, so if you think about, so what I do mainly business development with organizations, and so I tap into my social network through Facebook to try to find my peers and that are at organizations that I'm working for, work with. And so lately I've been using Facebook just saying, do you know anyone that works at Zynga or Bear Essentials? And, I mean, within, like, seconds I get 5 or 10 responses back, and I do that on LinkedIn as well. So, I mean, it just adds another layer, I think, to the number of people that you can ask questions to and find information.
Okay. Well, it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, what other questions do you have about LinkedIn?
I have a question. Are the recruiters, is it your experience that they're actually browsing for potential candidates, or are they sort of
meaning
as a double check on the name they
have? Both. Oh, absolutely. Recruiters have said to me, oh, I'm on LinkedIn all day, every day.
Looking for
yeah.
And how are they doing that then? I mean,
they're doing the advanced search that I showed you, and they'll use keywords.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably do narrow it down geographically because companies don't want to relocate people so much.
So you said that a respectable network has about 100 people. What's a respectable number of recommendations for a network of 50 to 100 people?
I would say at least 3, 5, 6, something like that would be fine. And if you have multiple positions listed, you would like to get a recommendation for each one of them. And as far as people to write recommendations, it would be coworkers, of course. Managers are terrific, but also your clients or customers. Or you're able to write recommendations for you, and they like to see them from different sources like that.
So where do they pull the keywords from? Like just anything that you posted, or that you have that list of?
Oh, I see. They'll take them from your profile, from your summary area, your specialties, and from any information you put in around your job, so the job that you've done.
Could you spend some time talking about protecting your brand, you know, things you shouldn't put out there, things that you want to stay away from, and I just want to, okay, so here's my commercial, I'm from risk management, so I just want to address the issue about when you're employing someone and you're using the social network. Here at UC, we try to give people a level playing field, so if you are only looking at one person's social network, you haven't been necessarily fair to the other candidates who are looking at jobs.
That's a really good point.
And so the reality is, at the end of the day, when someone contests whether or not they got that position, so I only see things, I'm not the HR person by any means, I only see when it goes wrong. So when someone, on the other hand, will protest, well, so-and-so didn't look at my LinkedIn, and I had, you know, fabulous recommendations. Those are just things you want to consider. We are seeing people using social networks as people apply for jobs at UC, and we are seeing sometimes people do it right, and sometimes they don't do it right. So here at UC, if you're going through a job search, I would just advise you to reach out to HR and get your consultant to assist you, making sure that you're doing everything the right way. So
how do people know if an employer has looked at their LinkedIn?
How people know is because your network is large, so depending on, you know, I saw something recently where someone posted that they they were going to do a job change, and the job hadn't been offered yet. And so, and other people in the network saw that, and so that's a problem, you know, or, you know, so, and that's a problem for the hiring manager.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful of those types of things.
Also, on the if you on your homepage, they'll tell you
that's right,
not
that's
specifics,
right.
But who viewed your page recently.
It will tell you who viewed it, depending on what that individual settings are. So sometimes you'll see names there.
So in this section here,
that's on your homepage.
Yeah.
If you set the security such that.
Yeah, and so I mean, you make a really good point. So in any of in all of these programs, there's some sort of setting section in LinkedIn. In that top right hand section, it says Add Connections, and then to the right of that, it says Settings, and then there's always a privacy button in there. So I mean, you can go in and change your privacy settings to allow people to Google search your name or not. So I mean, there's it's totally and completely how comfortable you feel with sharing the amount of information. On LinkedIn, you can create a public profile, which and that can include your entire profile or just you know your name and your summary and your interests. So and also same with like Facebook, it's all in your privacy. And they in Facebook in particular, they're constantly changing their privacy.
It's really confusing.
It is. And so you really have to kind of be willing to search the privacy section and tab and be kind of up to date on the changes that they've made.
And they mentioned earlier you have to decide what your comfort level is.
Yeah.
So for a while as I was putting my foot in the pond, I was not comfortable with somebody Googling. So I Google myself from time to time to see what shows up about me.
Yeah.
I think my Facebook setting is such that if you Google me, you cannot get me. But if I do LinkedIn, and if you're thinking professionally, I might want you to get my LinkedIn, but I really don't want you to talk or see all my people that I went to high school that's on my Facebook network. So I just think you have to take a little time to manage it.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you have any recommendations for because I have seen people use Facebook to, like, you know, find out questions. Oh, do you know someone who would be a good, task force member? Or maybe not that, but something like that.
Babysitters.
I just always worry about using Facebook, you know, like you're saying. You've got people from, it's not professionally, it's not a professional website. My question is, do you have recommendations for privacy settings if you're going to use Facebook as a professional?
You can have multiple Facebook accounts.
Yeah,
we were
just talking
about
that. Let me give you an example.
We're just in the hallway talking.
Just talking to her about this before the session started. So I have a personal Facebook account, which I use my maiden name, and that's the way you find me. I grew up in the Bay Area, so people know me. So it's been kind of cool to reconnect with people that I went to high school, college with, et cetera. Interesting enough, I opened the Facebook account on the advice of someone else because UC Berkeley Black Alumni Association was reaching out to find black alumni. Somebody said, you've got to get on this. You know, I see people you know, and you want to be part of this, like, movement. So, I jumped in, and next thing I know, next thing they wanted to do was meet. And I'm like, whoa, I like the virtual way. I didn't want to meet. I ended up at a Labor Day weekend reunion, which was fabulous. So I'm glad I did it. But I keep it kind of personal, right? But in my job, I worked with students a lot. And so, you know, we had this situation where we had students that were stuck in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to locate the students. And so there was just one student that wasn't responding. And so someone from communication said, she's responding on her Facebook account. And there was a real fork in the road, like, wow, am I going to open up a professional Facebook account? And I think I'm going to have to because of the work that I do with students now in student affairs. This is how you communicate with this world. And so I may have to open up a professional account just so that I can communicate with the university student population. And I just and to give you another example, when you leave today, as you go out the building, you'll see these big poster boards on the wall about how UC Risk Services does stuff. That's my department. The last one they had is a picture of a gentleman that was rescued from Egypt. And how he originally got rescued was because he put out a tweet. When he was detained by the Egyptian police, he put on Twitter, detained by police or arrested,
arrested,
something like that.
It was a single word.
Yeah, it was a single word. And it went out to his network, and his network contacted the School of Journalism and said, we believe he's been arrested. Can you help us? Mm-hmm. And so then we put into place a lot of things where we were able to get him out. So in the university environment, it's kind of tough, I think, you know, at a certain point as you mature, the technology seems kind of overwhelming. But on the other hand, working in a university environment and working with students and people who are using this technology, I think we have to put our foot in the pond, but be aware of the different settings, how you want to use it, what your comfort level is. I don't like on LinkedIn when people who want to sell me business ask to, you know, be my friend on LinkedIn or whatever, and I'm just like, ignore those people. But you got to set your own rules, kind of, and what works for you, I think.
Mm-hmm. One thing real quickly about LinkedIn, they seriously do not recommend having more than one account. It frankly can be confusing to anybody out there as to why do we have a mixed message here.
Well,
plus
I
the fact
that LinkedIn.
Yeah,
for it, Facebook,
yeah.
I might have to
exactly,
do that.
Exactly.
I think Facebook though has that capability to create groups inside of your profile. But like for your case, you might be able to create, right? Is that true?
Yeah, but you can't restrict
the access.
Yes, you can. I have like a professional group and then a family group, and they all have different access to my profile.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Different access to my pictures, different access to my profile.
It can be very granular. You can do it by individual if you want to.
And that's good. It's probably
what you need, though.
Can I just add?
If you're contacted in LinkedIn and someone says they have to be a contact, and you think you know who they are, but they're not sure. Is there any way you can view information about them without them knowing it?
Yeah,
sure. In your settings, which we're in my settings right now, under privacy settings right here, there is profile views. Control what, if anything, is shown to LinkedIn users whose profile you have viewed. So you can go in here. And right now I have it set up so that it's my anonymous profile characteristics, such as industry and title. I could select nothing right here, save that change, go in and do some searching around, and then come back and change this if I wanted to. Yeah. So they would not know anything about that you looked at them.
I mean, most people have so much enthusiasm about getting in touch with people from their past, and I really don't.
Can I give one thing related to Facebook? And I'm not saying this because it's a position we're in, but our children and family members are highly likely to be in this position. Most admissions offices for high schools and college now look at candidates' Facebook pages. And it has nothing to do with who they've given access to. They have access, period.
How do they get access?
They do.
There's a website. There's a website called Spokio that a lot of HR, are you aware of that? That a lot of HR groups use. And Spokio goes out everywhere on the web. And MySpace, Facebook, Twitter.
It searches for
any
present.
Yeah.
I know it's a premium type of service. I don't really know how
you
much they can see.
You can go in and ask for your profile to be taken off.
Well, let me just tell you what's happening with this, because it's not just admissions that are not being offered. It's also scholarships not being offered and other packages. So just from a parental perspective, I would go in and look at your kid's face page and get them to pull the things that you don't want potential employers or college admissions offices to see, just as a word of advice. They need to think about the party picture they posted and things like that. Not that they shouldn't have them, but they need to think about what the content is and what an adult thinks when they see it.
But then other people post pictures of your kids also. It's not just what
they
have. It's kind of viral. I mean, I look online, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
All the stuff I see of my kids that they didn't put up.
Right.
I think you can unlink yourself from someone else.
Can remove the tag.
Yeah.
Oh,
Just lock them in their rooms.
Yeah, you had a point.
Yeah, I just want to say on Facebook, so my friend who's in the entertainment business has a specific Facebook page, a whole new profile for that. So she has, because you can check all of these things and like all of these things on Facebook, but, I mean, if you have, like, a whole bunch of, for example, websites that are relevant to your industry, you don't want that clogging up your personal site.
Mm.
So she has all kinds of, like, professional friends and stuff that she uses on Facebook. So my point was that your profile can reflect, if you have a professional page on Facebook, everything in your profile can be geared towards those interests and those things are about you that are relevant to your profession.
And that's the branding part of it. That's very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so in that situation, having two rather than just a professional group
mm-hmm.
is much more beneficial to her.
Absolutely.
When you set that up, would you just, like, how would you do, like, I know you mentioned using your maiden name, but
she uses her name, like, her real name.
It's driven by the email address.
Oh, you just have to. Or there's a couple different options because you can create your Facebook profile, which is your personal profile. But say I was an actress, create a fan page that is different than my profile. And that fan page can be searchable by anyone, and it is public. And it doesn't have privacy settings, and you don't have to accept friends. But when you go up to the top and say, I want to like this actress or actor, that's because you are on a fan page, not a profile. So you could have something like that, which might
be a lot of companies have fan pages. Yeah.
Like
right. Yep. Yeah. So what questions do you have? Do you guys want to talk about Twitter, Facebook? More questions?
Why didn't you tweet Patrice?
You know, you have no idea what a good question that is. The woman lives on Twitter.
I know. I we muted everyone earlier, and now we may. Well,
That would have been perfect.
00.
I
think everybody's alive.
No.
I don't know.
I think before we leave more people from suggestion one, we're going to go ahead and raffle our, you know, here at Taxol, we have a little tradition at our event to raffle off flowers to our participants.
Great.
Rosemary and spring for raffle tickets.
Good question. I don't know your name, but Andrea was asking.
The conference has been unmuted.
Hello?
Companies can actually pay a fee to control what is visible on their company profiles on LinkedIn, or if they don't pay the fee, then people can go in and update it. It will show you who updated it. So, there you go. What do you want to look at?
Can you hear me now?
I can.
You want to go, we'll look at Zebra Technologies? Okay. See, this was last edited by Henry Jones, which sounds like a pseudonym to me. But so this is a new company. If I wanted to follow Zebra, I would just click here. And right now it has 1,100 people following that company. If I click on this link, I can see everyone who's following Zebra Technologies. And, of course, they can see them too.
Would you suggest for someone who's looking for a job, like say someone who's looking for a job at Zebra, for them to follow Zebra?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even though if they look, they can see that you were following them. That's a positive thing.
Yeah. And you can follow them on Twitter too. If that's another way to get information. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. What question were we referring to?
Okay.
Twitter, I think.
Okay. Can a company see that you're following all sorts of different companies or just that their own company? Like, you could, technically, you know.
And that's not a bad message either. You know, yes, I am interested in a new position, but you're not the only game in town, so that's fine.
Well, I mean, you make a good point, because so one of the reasons why I use Twitter is because I don't have time to pick up a paper. When you think that, I know she scoffs at me, she says, oh, it's so nice to sit down with a paper, but like, for instance, I follow the Business Times, and so I can click on Business Times and then read all the little headlines in 140 characters or less in like 30 seconds. I can just scan through them all, so it's a really easy way to get news and to follow companies, so it's just an easier way to get information, I think.
And faster, too. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, and it's instantaneous, because
right.
The newspaper is 8 hours old.
Can you do about 5 minutes on Twitter?
Sure. Okay. It was only like 4 or 5 people, I think, that have ever used Twitter, right?
Right, but now, after today,
my
husband
is on it.
I love that headline thing you just did. That's my kind of reading.
Okay, so you're going to learn some interesting things about me today, which is that on Twitter, what I follow a lot is restaurants, because a lot of restaurants in San Francisco actually use Twitter to announce, like, half-price nights. So they'll give you a code, and you come in and say the code word is, you know, red plate or something. So they give you a half-price dinner. And there's also a big trend in San Francisco for food carts. And so the food carts actually use Twitter pretty actively to tell people, like, there's a creme brulee guy. And so he'll... And so they use Twitter to tell you their location, maybe when they're going to be there, and their flavors for the day. So, I mean, you can use Twitter to follow anyone. But as you can see here, the navigation is pretty simple. What's happening? And then in here I can tweet at... And so what that does is it goes out to the, you know, 32, or my 72 followers. So.
You're following 72.
Oh, I'm following 72, right, and there are 33 followers. There are a couple, I think, interesting things down here. So we were talking about creating lists. I have a client list. So any of my clients that are on Twitter, I follow them for updates. And as you can see, it's like Cal Academy of the Sciences, Virgin America, Earth Justice, they're just in the neighborhood. And what it does is it gives you a really easy way to read about what is going on at that organization. And if you wanted to just get Earth Justice, you could just click on their page and then very, very quickly read about any of the updates that they have tweeted out in the last, you know, 24 hours. Hey, Patrice, are you on the phone? Is there anything you'd like to add about Twitter and how you use it? Because I know you're an active Twitter or tweeter.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Well, if you want to bring up my Twitter account at twitter.com/Patrice Reed, I just sent a message to you guys. We'll see if you can bring it up. That would be great. But while you were talking, I just pulled up my iPhone, and this is actually one of my little tricks for Twitter, is that I use it on my iPhone a lot. I use a couple of different clients on my iPhone. I think one that we mentioned earlier that Karen talked about in terms of TweetDeck being a way that you can look at things in different columns and such like that. And I use that particular one a little bit and some others as well. But I find it easier when I'm, like, waiting in line or I think of something that I want to remember about job search or anything like that to work with our clients. I'll put that out on Twitter, and I find that it's helpful. Sometimes I'll go back and look at my previous tweets when I want to remember something that I have done. So, or resource of some sort, that kind of thing. I can kind of go back and access that information as well. But I'm definitely an active tweeter. I find that And one of the folks was asking about etiquette and that kind of thing. I wouldn't tweet more than once an hour. That's definitely overload. But I like to kind of, you know, tweet a little bit more after hours, and I think that it maybe doesn't get the visibility that it might otherwise if you're kind of tweeting maybe during lunchtime or something along those lines. But even if you're tweeting, you know, once a day or once a week, that's fine too if you just want to kind of test the waters a little bit as well. It's also fine to just follow while you're getting comfortable and seeing what is right for you around Twitter, because I'm like Carolyn, I use it for news a lot. And that really does, I think that really is a good way to stay in touch. You might want to follow other academic institutions, too, and see what's going on at the SUNY system or what's going on at, you know, in Texas or some of the other places as well, to kind of stay ahead of, you know, what's happening in your space as well. So a few little tidbits there. Anything else that folks have questions about with Twitter?
I don't think you can chat on LinkedIn. Patrice, do you use Twitter for chat?
I don't really use Twitter for chat. I use it more for, it's a more public conversation. One of the things about kind of how Twitter was developed versus how Facebook came about is that Facebook came about more as a private space for friends. And even though they've had some issues with their privacy because they've tried to kind of move out of that, Twitter has always been a public conversation. So you might be chatting back and forth with a Twitter user, but it is a public conversation for everyone else to see. And so it doesn't, I wouldn't think of it really of chat in the same way. It's more of a broadcast. Does that help? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Several basic Twitter questions go to Cheryl's example of the guy who wrote Arrested. So to write a tweet, you have to be in Twitter. So he perhaps had a smartphone.
Yep.
He had Twitter right there, and he typed it. Okay, so to view this, are people able to set it up so that they get a text or something or an email to know that there's new activity in their Twitter account?
Well, anyone, so for instance, if I go to my homepage, so anyone, like, for instance, my friend just tweeted, so good that you use it.
Yeah.
He responded to my tweet 5 minutes ago. And so this is pretty much my active stream of tweets, and anybody that I'm following, anytime that they tweet, I will see it.
But you need to go onto Twitter.
I would, or use, like, I have an application on my smartphone.
If you have a smartphone, you have a...
I don't think so.
An icon or an app that will either it'll give you a number, it'll show that you have a new tweet or a new Facebook request or something like that. So if you're on your phone, or some people have it set up where they get an email, like an email every time something changes in one of these things, right? So these things that can tell me. But like I need to turn that function off. I figured out on Facebook, like an email every time somebody
the notifications.
Does a notification. Forget that. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I would probably.
Find that's there, but if you have a smartphone, you can get those things right away.
Yeah, there's quite a number of applications like TweetDeck and Echo Phone. There's even a Twitter iPhone application that you can use if you have an iPhone or other smartphone tools to be able to access it. I think it's easiest to access Twitter from inside Twitter, although I do find on occasion I'll find a very interesting tweet about something that I know someone in my network would be interested in, and I'll often go ahead and email that tweet to them. So even if they miss it in their stream or they're not following that particular organization, I can create that into an email to send to somebody, which is a nice way to stay in touch and stay fresh of mind with folks.
Now, the story, the James Buck story, just an add-on to that, maybe 4 months later I was out at a restaurant in San Francisco and sitting next to me were some people from Twitter. And so after two glasses of wine, of course, I needed to share. one guy was, we were just hired, and when you're hired at Twitter, they tell you the UC James Bond story.
So that's part of their orientation.
That's part of the orientation about, you know, how Twitter, how, you know, how it saved this kid's life, you know.
Would that be a text? Is that just a certain number, like,
No, I sent it through Twitter, actually, through the program, and then my friend Ashley responded.
There's a 140 character limit on tweets.
So one says via web, and the one above says via text.
Oh, so my friend Tammy, she's down in Southern California, and she has a smartphone, so
okay.
She sent it through an application on her smartphone.
Okay.
So.
Hey, Carolyn, were you guys able to see my message?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, that was sent directly from my iPhone from a client called EchoPhone.
I'll show you again. There's Patrice.
And if Carolyn were following Patrice, we would have been able to see it more directly.
Oh, okay.
I will.
Right, exactly, right within the homepage.
So bad. So what other questions do you have about Twitter? I want to be cognizant of time. I know we've been in here about 90 minutes.
Does Twitter give you a warning that you've run out of your 140 characters?
Yeah, we'll let you go over.
You start typing and, like, I'm very verbose. Blah, 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 blah. I want to tell you everything. And it'll start telling you how many, it'll count down your characters.
Negative.
A, now I have 139 characters. Blah, blah, blah. And then it starts going to the red. -26, -44.
Yeah.
Which is great because then you know where to cut and paste. Keep going.
Twitter's like email where you only use the subject line.
Yeah.
That's the way to think about it. Absolutely.
Started, stockbrokers started communicating with each other.
In the subject line.
Just in the subject line. There's nobody ever.
Twitter's also been called microblogging.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your presentation.
Awesome.
Okay, yeah.
Thank
great.
You very much. Absolutely. There's a resource. There are handouts. There's a slide and there's some handouts if you guys want those. Definitely. Thanks so much for attending today.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please stand by.